Hare Krishna. I would like to affectionately welcome all of you and before starting, make a little observation. As you have maybe noted, the season has changed a little bit, and this morning it was very foggy and damp and wet and also cold. Now, from our human perspective, this is very unpleasant, especially if we don't have any radiator in our room. And we feel, oh no, and some of us are getting sick. We can hear already the mucus symphony, like this. So from our human perspective, this is unpleasant. However, there is another perspective, a divine perspective. Radha and Krishna enjoy this season, which is called the dewy season. They enjoy it because it offers more privacy for their meetings in the caves of Giriraj Govardhan. Not many people are out to see Radha moving. The cowherd boys cannot see that Krishna has gone, because it's fog, it's the dewy season. But they have made appointments in private meeting places, like for instance the warm caves of Giriraj, and they are together there drinking honey juices and conversing and exchanging loving pastimes with each other. So sometimes in Braj it's necessary to change from the human perspective, or let us call it the human, how do you say it, the human-centric perception, where the human being is in the center, and take a Krishna or Radha and Krishna-centric perspective. I was once invited to give a lecture in the sociology department of the university in Göteborg, and I chose a provocative title. Many came because the title was so extremely provocative. The title was "The Arrogance of Humanism." The Arrogance of Humanism, because it is in this humanistic worldview where the least important person, that is the human being, is put in the center, and God is removed from the center. So I gave I tried to speak very intellectually, so I didn't say it so bluntly. I spoke in many words, but that was the focus of the subject. So, my dear devotees, in Braj, we can happily move ourselves out of the center. Of course, we should take care of ourselves. For instance, in the dewy season, it's very good to put a ball of black pepper. Just a little, you know, is it ball? Is it a seed? A seed of black pepper, like you can get at any market, under the tongue, and that will heat the whole body, and you will not have any mucus problem. I mean, not a big problem, at least. So yes. But beyond taking care of these physical needs in an appropriate way, let us put Radha and Krishna in the center. That's why we are here. That's what we have come to learn, to pay more attention to Krishna and become happy. Because no matter how much attention you put on yourself, you remain the soul does not become happy by this. I just wanted to share this observation with you. When I saw the season, I was in bliss. Wow, I remembered so many pastimes this morning, Radha and Krishna. But of course, I had a radiator in my room, so that helped a little bit. I don't want to sound holier than I really am. I'm not so holy. Hare Krishna. We will now continue our pastime with a very, very interesting and very, very instructive part of the Leela. I would like to sing with you one verse where this pastime is described. It's the seventh verse of the Damodarashtakam, which comments the amazing part of the Leela which follows now. The verse says, "You were still bound, Lord Damodar, on the grinding mortar, but although you were bound, you granted the two sons of Kuvera liberation from bondage, which was created by the curse of Narada, and you blessed them with loving devotion unto you. Just as you made these demigods the recipients of the greatest mercy, kindly grant me not liberation, but the same eternal perfection, O Damodar. I long for nothing else." Yeah, so the verse, I like it very much. You were bound, sorry. You were bound, but although you were bound, you gave liberation from all bondage to these two sons of Kuvera by giving them pure love for you. And please do the same with me. No, please grant me also that perfection. So that... Kuveratma. Oh, is this too high? It's a little early in the morning. Let us. Yes.
Kuveratma. Jo bata moje vayatma. Tvaya mochito bhakti. Anyo kito cha.
Please enter the secret of this prayer. My Lord, you were liberating these two cursed beings. Please do the same with me. I'm so bound. I'm so helpless. The three gunas have bound me neck and feet. Please grant me bhakti, very sweet bhakti to you. That is my only request.
Kuveratma jo vata moje vayadva vaya mochi to bhakti ayogito cha.
Everybody please.
Kuveratma jo vata moje. Tata prema vaktim svakam vipayatsya namakshe grahome tudamodareha. bhaktin sakam me bayacha. Tata prema bhaktin sayam me bayacha. Namak se graho me vidamudareha. Namak se graho me vidamudareha. Jaya radha namodara radha. Namo Dara Sri Radhe. Deya Radha Namo Dara Radha Namo Dara Sri Radhe. Gaura Premanandi Hari 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 Bo. Hare Krishna.
So, we heard yesterday that when Krishna was still with his mother Yashoda, he cried and cried and cried because Mother had bound him, and he felt he should not be bound. He wanted unlimited freedom of movement. He wanted to play. But the moment his mother left with the other women, and he was surrounded by his small little friends, he stopped crying and began to laugh. In his mind, however, he did not forget what Yashoda had done to him. And he thought, now I will do something which will make my mother cry so that she doesn't do it again. And he laughed because, remember, this is all part of a loving exchange, a prema exchange. There's no anger. There is no spirit to be revengeful or something. No, there's the waves of the Leela are turning this way and that way. So, his little friends were there around him, and they laughed. They laughed in order to encourage him. Don't take this so personally. Let us stay together. As long as we are together, everything is blissful. So they laughed, and Krishna laughed also. And then his eyes fell on the entrance in the southeast of the compound. Do you know who was there? Yes, the twin Arjuna trees who stood there like a V, where the two parts of the V were joining in near the ground. No, there was a little like this. And he started to pull on the ropes, on the rope, and the mortar started to move. And his friends were amazed. Oh, our Gopal is so strong. He is so strong. He's just... and they were encouraging, yes, yes, keep moving, keep moving. Krishna was laughing, and they were very, very joyfully they moved towards it. Now, when Krishna saw these two, he thought something in his mind. He could recognize they were not trees, but cursed devatas, the sons of Kuvera. And he thought to himself, although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, I have no connection to them. They have not done devotional service. They have not done bhakti. But Devashi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee. And therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do this now for their deliverance. Maybe some of you can, who speaks Hindi, a man, can just go and tell our monkey gods who are becoming happy because the sun is rising, to maybe converse silently. That's impossible in Vrindavan, but then to stop conversing. So what happens now is something which I really wish all of us to understand. Here, because this part of the Leela is now turning to all of us. What we heard so far was on the highest level of Prema Bhakti, with some drops coming in our direction. But what we hear now is absolutely our situation. We are also like these two sons of Kuvera, in a way, not in our natural bodies, not in our natural natures. We are in human bodies, cuffing human bodies at the moment. And we have lost our natural spiritual freedom. And we need also the merciful glance of Sri Krishna. How will this ever happen? It will happen by the blessings of a great soul. When a great soul comes and intervenes into your life and prays to Krishna, please accept this person, then Krishna, who always follows the requests of his bhaktas, great devotees, will think, because this great soul, Narada Muni and Srila Prabhupada, have asked me to be kind to these people, I must oblige. I must follow these great devotees. There's a wonderful, well-known story which I heard from His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj about how the Lord follows the requests of His devotees. There was once a funeral procession in Varanasi. Who of you has visited Varanasi? No, not so many. Have you seen people carrying a dead person on a stretcher? That's very common there, because anyone who's cremated at the banks of the Ganga, at the Manikarnika Ghat, is given the special mercy of Lord Shiva, who appears to them and speaks the mantra of their Ishta Devata. If you're a devotee and you die there and you are cremated there, Lord Shiva will speak the Gopal mantra or the Hare Krishna mantra in your ear so that you remember the Lord. If you are if you are Ram Bhakta, he will say the name of Ram. Some people were carrying a dead body through the streets of Varanasi, and they were chanting this mantra, Shri Rama Nama Satya Hai. Huh? Only the name of Ram is truth. And as they were coming, a great devotee, Tulsidas, came from the opposite way. And it's a common sight. But what was so uncommon was that there was one young lady, a very saintly and pious young lady, who was crying and crying and crying so much that the heart of Tulsi felt softened. He pronounced a blessing. So Bhagyavati Bhava, may you always be a fortunate married woman. That means may your husband live a long time. So he just said this, you know, out of the kindness of the heart. May you always be fortunate. May your husband live a long time. Like this. So then the people came and said, Are Tulsidas, she's the widow. Her husband is carried to the funeral pyre. Your pronunciation cannot be truthful because the husband has died. She will never be a fortunate young woman. She was, from this day on, she is a cursed young woman. She is, her husband has left her. So, Tulsi heard this, and his heart was very disturbed. But she's so young. What is the future? She will be crying tears for the rest of her life. And he went to his altar, and he could not forget that scene. A crying, crying young girl behind the dead body of her husband. And it was... He addressed Lord Ram, his Ishta Devata, and said, My dear Ram, I have said something. I've blessed this young woman. And if this doesn't come true, she will become even more unfortunate. I request you, give life back to the husband. And then he took a cup of Charanamrita from the morning worship and went back to the procession and said, Where is that husband? And they said, he's lying here. So then Tulsi went like, and sprinkled him with that Charanamrita. I didn't want to go this direction because this is not exactly Charanamrita. And the water fell on the husband. And now listen to the miracle which happened. At that moment, when the Charanamrita of Lord Rama touched the dead body of this dead man, life stirred in his veins, and he sat up on the stretcher and was in perfect health. Why? Because Tulsi had requested the Lord. My dear devotees, if you request the Lord, that's also nice, but if he will answer, that is questionable. But if a great devotee asks the Lord on your behalf, My dear Lord, this devotee, please give him some mercy. He's a good devotee, although he cannot always concentrate on you the way he wants. Please, you give mercy. Then, upon the request of the devotee, you are saved. Not by your own merits or credits or benefits. No, because a devotee intervened in your fortune. My dear devotees, I think this is a very important lesson of the breaking of the two Arjuna trees. And I really want us to understand this very deeply. Sometimes our movement is challenged because we are a big movement and there are very good things and very astonishing things happening parallel. And sometimes the challenge is there, will this Hare Krishna movement and be able to liberate the devotees to the highest perfection of associating with the Lord in transcendental love of Godhead. There are many, 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 let us say, persons who doubt this. They say, oh, this Hare Krishna, Hare Ram movement has only given half of the spiritual teachings. The whole subject of Raga Nuga Bhakti is missing. It's like cutting half of the sadhana away. On this is very simple. Everything is so simple. Chant 16 rounds, follow 4 rules and regulations. Really? But what is with this statement? What is with that statement? Our movement has come under a big amount of questions, both from outsiders of our movement as well as from insiders who have left the movement to go to other sources for spiritual guidance and inspiration because they felt they could not obtain everything they needed. There has been a charge. Only an Uttama Bhakta can liberate the devotees to the highest level. And is this happening? Is this happening today? These questions are there. It is a subject which I want to touch a little. But as you all know, I'm not interested in the discussions on the internet because I don't even know how to use a computer. But I want to say something. Prabhupada came as someone who was sent by his spiritual master and by the Sampradaya, an ancient spiritual school. And he gave a promise. A promise which he has well thought about. He said we must chant the holy names without offenses. We must read the Bhagavatam. We must rise early and worship the Lord. We must follow 4 rules and regulations. We must read in the books. And if we do this, he guarantees us that we will go back to Godhead. This promise was heard by us, his disciples and grand disciples like all of you, but it was also heard by another person. Can you imagine who this person is? Krishna, exactly. Just like Krishna heard the promise of Narada Muni to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, that you will be born as trees, but you will meet the Lord face to face and you will be liberated by Him. Krishna heard this. And now at this part of the Leela, he remembers this. His eyes fall on the trees who stand there in the V position, V as a letter, I mean. And he remembers, I have nothing really to do with these people. I'm in my Leela here. I'm with my Prema Bhaktis. I'm playing my flute and I want to make my mother cry. He is in this mood, not in the Leela. Leela Purushottam. He now remembers my great devotee who is very affectionate towards me, Narada Muni. He has made this promise and I better fulfill it because I have given a promise that I'm there for my pure devotees. They have bound me in their hearts. I can never leave them. I don't want to leave them. And I will now, yes, he has said, I will do. Let me see who they are. And like this, my dear devotees, just like this, Krishna has heard the promise from another pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, you may say, well, is Prabhupada like Narada Muni? I sincerely think, I mean, as a disciple, I could now glorify, but let us address a skeptical audience. Maybe not you, but the ones who hear the recordings for a moment, and I will not now speak. I mean, anyone can see that there is something special moving Srila Prabhupada, a certain Shakti, which is given by Lord Krishna, the Krishna Shakti, so that he is bringing people on the path of Krishna consciousness. It's clearly a divine energy which moves through him. And also, those who are not Prabhupada's disciple have seen and acknowledged this. Those who are his disciples have witnessed something very, very deep, that at the moment when Prabhupada was finished with his preaching movement, preaching activities, that was when he was on his deathbed, he had a very extraordinary desire. He wanted to go on an ox cart to the site of Govardhan, because here his most beloved Radha and Krishna have their confidential pastimes, and he wanted to leave his body there and go to where his heart was. You know, he said, I'm finished now, I can do what I want. My mission is finished, I can now take care of my own mission, of my own interest, and he went there. There are many other things which I would like to, I would like to write about this in my glorification for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, upcoming Vyasa Puja next year, 2017. These these aspects of his personality, which are not directly related to preaching and convincing the world, defeating the atheists and planting Krishna Bhakti in the hearts of all of us. These pastimes of Prabhupada are well known. There are other pastimes, other things which we disciples witnessed in him, like crying in ecstatic love for God, and the moment he saw that he was watched stopping himself but not being able to stop himself. Things where we understood, yeah, he is something else than we we perceive. He's a very, very, very spiritual, great soul. So, yes, he has made a promise, and such a bhakta's promise as Krishna will fulfill it. There is a verse. Are you interested in the subject matter? Good, good. You don't want to speak about something you... there is a verse in the Bhagavatam, so that you see it's not my speculation or my exaggerated glorification of Prabhupada, where this becomes very clear. This means that when a pure devotee asks something or promises something or pronounces something, then Krishna hears it and he accepts the wish of his devotee. This verse, I know some of you like to read. I will give you the text in a moment. Svayam samutiya sudushtaram dyumang bhavanavang bhimam adaprasurida bhavat padamborur ruhanavamatrate nidhayayata sat anugraho bhavan. O Lord, you are who shine like a sun. O Lord, who shine like the sun. You are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore you are known as a desire tree. Now when acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, In order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful, you accept this method to help those who take shelter of this method. This is such a beautiful verse. It's one of my favorites. It's like this. The ocean of material life is a samsara ocean, and it can be crossed by an upaya, a means, a boat, which is designed by the acharyas, and they leave this. They practice this method and they go to the other side of the ocean of birth and death. But strangely, or miraculously, I wanted to say, they leave the boat for all of us on our side so that we can use it and go to the same destination where they have gone. So Prabhupada left a boat. Some say this is the ISKCON movement. Is this really true? I would like to say it's true if you understand it in the right way. The ISKCON movement is three things, not one thing. It has an office, that's the institution and the organization. But on a deeper level, it is there to spread bhakti in the forms of chanting the holy name, reading the Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, going to the holy dham and worshipping the deities, panchanga bhakti. It's a spiritual process handed down through the ancient traditions. And on a third level, ISKCON is something else, not just the organization, not just the process. It is a sadhya, a specific goal that is prema bhakti, love of Godhead. Let us understand this a little better by using the analogy of an ocean. The ocean has waves on the surface. It has warm currents in which some fishes like to swim. And on the deepest level, it has corals and pearls and jewels. So those who are on the surface of the ocean, please excuse me, those who are on the surface of the ocean, who are dealing with the waves, they are very much disturbed, sometimes up, sometimes down. And when something on the surface of the ocean happens, like an oil spill by one of these huge oil tankers, then all life stops for some time on the surface of the ocean. But those who are a little deeper, who are in the process of chanting, reading the Bhagavatam, they may sometimes look up and see the waves and the oil, but they are not concerned with their safety. They swim very happily, very joyfully. And those who are on the deepest level, the very fortunate souls, who are on the level of the jewels, they don't even look up any longer because they're so engaged with the jewels of prema bhakti that they are overwhelmed in ecstasy and love. So my dear devotees, where do you want to be in this movement? On the surface, where there is so much unrest, Facebook, Twitter, what else? WhatsApp! Oh yeah, WhatsApp! The invention of Kali Yuga to steal your time from you. If you are on the surface, do you want to be there? You will be always disturbed, sometimes, or agitated, or occupied with this what is going on. My dear devotees, understand ISKCON is much deeper. The office of ISKCON to organize things is very necessary, but it's not all. Who could live in an office? Where will you sleep? Where will you take rest? Where will you read something deep in an office? Ring, 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 emails, 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 organization, management. You need to go in the depths. You need to go to that process. And that's what this Govardhana retreat is all about. And I think some of us feel already, wow, this is serious. This is deep. This is for real. So that you can go in the supermost depths. That is, that you can find your treasures. Find your treasures which the Lord has kept for you and which He wants to give you, and so on. Very important. Very important. In the postmodern time, people are not interested so much in organized religion any longer. It's not relevant for them. They want an experience. Something which helps them. Something which transforms their heart. And you and all of us also want this. This is why we came. Let us never forget, we came for love. We came for ecstasy. Maybe not all of you. Okay, let's be a little bit more moderate in our... we came at least to become free from suffering, you know, or something. We have some spiritual motive that brought us here. So then this, never forget. And remember this and situate yourself properly where you can get what you came for. So, back to the thing. The boat, that means the process, the method, the upaya, which the acharyas lead, left, can bring us. And Prabhupada has designed a certain method. I still remember the day I was out crying on the streets of Hamburg, not because of love of God, but because I was so cold in the snow and no one took books. So when I was crying on the streets of Hamburg, my temple president came and said and waved from far and a letter with a blue, it was an aerogram. He waved it, and we knew what that was, a letter from Prabhupada. And I knew what that letter was. I was afraid, because I had written him if he could accept me as his disciple and make an exception, because I'm so unqualified, if we could just do this one. And I had sent 10 marks, that was a currency at that time, German currency, and it was my Guru Dakshin, and he was, now the letter was of course opened, no privacy in early ISKCON, and he said, Prabhupada wrote you a letter, and I said, I'm only interested, yes or no? Yes! And I received my initiation letter on the street. And there he said, you are a very good boy, he said. He was kind to all of his disciples. He said that to everyone. And I promise you, if you do this, 10, 16 rounds without offenses, follow our process, you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. He said this. Thank you, but he said this also to you. This is the idea. This is the idea. I still remember my temple president. I still remember I was shaking. Yes or no? That's all what I want to know. He is what he is, our Srila Prabhupada. He can make such a promise. And Hare Krishna. So when a true saint, a saintly person, makes such a promise, it will work. And this Leela is a witness to this powerful thing. Did I tell you where you can find the verse? No, I think I was... You please read Prayers by the Demigods. I think it must be chapter 2. It's not so clear here. a 10, one moment, 10 skanto. 10 skanto, Krishna. Here. 10 skanto. Chapter 2, verse 31. Read also the purport, of course, is very important purport. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
So, Krishna remembers the words of Narada Muni. After Narada Muni had cursed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, you are so naked and so sinful, you become trees. He didn't feel very well. He said, he had alleviated the curse and said, because he saw they were repentant, you will meet Krishna face to face. Then still he felt, oh no, I cursed someone. So he went, as the Bhagavatam informed us, to Bararikashrama. That's one of the four holy places in the Himalayas. He went there because he wanted to meet Lord Narayan and tell him something. Tell him, I did this, this is all right. Or, when one curses someone, one loses the result of his tapasya. It's like when you spend money, you don't have money any longer. This is important for us devotees also. If you become angry towards someone, you lose your spiritual merits. I always like to tell the story of one of my god brothers who once told me that he had become angry with a rickshaw driver and was beating him. And because of this offense towards a Brajbas, see, misfortune came over him. He couldn't return to Braj for 10 long years. His wife left him. He became ill and everything. Because you lose things when you become angry and you lose your control. Be very careful in our movement. There's so much hot feelings nowadays everywhere. Don't become inflamed and become angry at devotees. That's not good. Even if devotees make mistakes, they need help, not anger, to become good again. So Narada Muni felt, I'm losing the results of all my tapasya and austerities by this curse. Let me go to Bararikashrama and tell Narayan, and then I know whether I did the right thing or not. Such a great devotee feeling this emotion. Because Krishna thought, my Narada is such a dear devotee, such a humble devotee, such a the real devotee. I will fulfill his words by giving these two demigods whatever was promised by this great soul. Although I have nothing to do with these two because they are the rich sons of the and spoiled sons of Kuvera, I must follow Narada. Narada Muni ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Why have you said jai? The point is, you have a chance. That's why you can say jai and dance the whole day. If you wish, well, then there will be an internet news. You danced the whole day and it was Sahajiya. Better not. So thinking like this, Gopal crawled down the courtyard. He went into the southeastern direction, where there was a well-kept road which led into the main road which went through the village of Gokul. And he went towards the two trees. His voice were encouraging him. The cover voice, yes, yes, yes. They didn't know what he wanted. They thought he wants to go in the shade. And as Krishna went, the mortar started to roll behind him because it was a downwards facing slope. You slope, you understand? Neigung, we say in German. So it was rolling, and Krishna went fast. He went right between the two trees, and tang, the mortar got stuck. In this moment, Krishna, smiling very sweetly, stood up very erect, and with his beautiful belly, which was bound and therefore more beautiful with a rope, he brought it forward, and as he was jerking on the rope, the trees began to tremble, and the boy said, go far, you know. They were very enlivened. And then something happened. The trees, which were as hard as stone, broke with a crashing sound, like a volcanic eruption, which was so loud that all the bridge buses lost their consciousness for 48 minutes. It was really loud, really loud and powerful sound. All the bridge buses except a certain group. Can you imagine who that was? The gopas, yes. The coward boys, Krishna protected them. Krishna didn't protect the bridge buses because he knew what would happen next, which was very dramatic. And he didn't want anyone to see this because it would betray and send a message to the bridge buses. This boy is extraordinary, and he wanted to just be seen by his mother and all the others as a little naughty boy whom they loved like anything. He knew, my coward boyfriends, they can see it. They laugh about everything because they're small. Like small people, small children laugh about everything which is fun. They laugh and it's joyful and they forget it. And no one will take serious, Krishna thought, when they report what will happen. So all of Braj, including the cows, and everyone was lying fainting for 48 minutes because these 48 minutes will be very important for Nala Kuvera and Manigriva and all of us. And no one should know of the bridge buses what happened. I have written this down. With great happiness and great force, the Lord moved forward his belly. And by his strength, the two trees, which were as hard as thunderbolts, began to tremble and shake. First the trunk, and then the branches and the leaves began to shake violently, because after all, they will now be delivered from a powerful curse. This is, and then a terrible sound arose from the trees as they cracked. All the inhabitants of Braj could not maintain their composure and fainted. And then, like fire, which burst out of wood, two effulgent personalities appeared. They covered all the directions with a supernatural light and effulgence which spread. And they saw Krishna with tears in their eyes and folded their hands, because for them a curse which had lasted for a millennium came to an end. And they addressed Krishna with beautiful words, which I would like to chant with you, but let us first in English hear what they said. They said, "O Lord Krishna, O Lord Krishna," they said it two times because they were two, "your opulent mysticism is inconceivable. You are the supreme and original person, the cause of all causes, both those which are immediate as well as those who are remote. And you are totally beyond the material creation. Learned Brahmanas know that you are everything, and that this cosmic manifestation, in its gross and subtle forms, is only your form. Please fold your hands now and repeat. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogins, Tvam Adya, Purusha Puraha, Vakta Vyaktam, Idam Vishvam, Rupam Te, Brahmana Vidu. Maybe we would say, because we don't know Sanskrit and we are not so philosophical, "Wow," we would say to Krishna, that was far out, you know, what you just did. But they are praising Krishna in choice Vedic verses and so on. All this time, they had been bound by their karma. Curses are part of karma. Now the Lord, who himself was bound, had liberated them. Therefore they said, "O master of mysticism," this is mystical, "you are bound, but you liberate everyone." This episode was discussed once when Krishna met a dear devotee of him who asked him about this pastime. It was Navavrinda, who was very curious. She asked, "Krishna, after you freed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva from their forms as trees, why didn't they have the courtesy to free you from the ropes that Mother Yashoda had used to bind you? You know, they should have shown some gratitude, no? One hand washes the others, no?" Krishna answered, "My mother tightly bound me with a strong rope of maternal love. Although I can release all living entities from the bonds of repeated birth and death, still I have no power to untie my mother's ropes. I have no power. What can be said of the power of others to untie these ropes?" By this pastime, Krishna wanted to make a point which has deep, deep, deep ramification. And I would like to discuss one ramification which will again be highly controversial here. I heard it from Radha Govinda Maharaj, and I would like to present it because he is a great Bhagavatam reciter and a great devotee. His family is in the line of Nanda Maharaj, and he said, "A point is here that someone who is bound can liberate others, and this can also refer to a guru who is not yet liberated, but who presents the process of Krishna consciousness as it is. Because it's the process, not the person's condition, which works. And he gave an example which is quite interesting. There is some of our gurus may be liberated or not. I know for sure that I am not. Some may be on the level of Prabhupada, some may not be on the level of Srila Prabhupada. If they represent the process, this is very good. And how it works is, remember, there was once a Beel. Beel is from an uncultured tribal background. His name was Ekalavya. He wanted to become the martial art disciple of the great teacher Dronacharya. Now Dronacharya had been taught by Parushuram, and at the end of his education under his great teacher Parushuram, who's an incarnation of the Lord, Parushuram demanded of him, never teach what I have taught you to someone who is either a Shudra or Vaishya, because they might not use it properly due to their conditioning. You can teach this knowledge only to a Kshatriya and a Brahmana. So when Ekalavya, from this tribal heritage, tribal thing, he was a Shudra by birth, approached Dronacharya, please accept me as your disciple. Dronacharya said, what is your birth? He said, I'm a Beel. I cannot accept you as a disciple. My Guru Maharaj has told me only Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, not you. Go. So Ekalavya went. But he had great faith in Dronacharya. And although he was not accepted formally, he installed a murti of Dronacharya, followed the guidelines which were known of Dronacharya's education. There were some known guidelines. The secrets were not known, obviously. And became a very powerful archer. But it came to a very dramatic climax. Once the Pandavas with Dronacharya went hunting, and there was a wild dog barking in the area they were hunting, and by his bark, all the deers and everyone ran away. It was a very, very disturbing bark. A very wild dog. So Ekalavya, who sensed that his guru was nearby, decided to end this barking, and he shot a volley of arrows. Volley means dong, 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 dong. The arrows went to the dog and closed the mouth of the dog, and also went between the jaws, you know, one here, and then closed it around, so that it made a perfect Maulkorb. You need to know some German. Maulkorb means a mouth basket, if you translate it. It's what dogs who bite and disturb get. They can't open their mouth. A perfect mouth basket. There will be an English word for what this is. Muzzle. A perfect muzzle. And the dog, imagine this happens to you. You talk prajalpa and then and your mouth is closed. That is totally, totally unexpected, you know. So the dog just ran to the Pandavas, and the Pandavas saw this mastery of archery. There was not one drop of blood, no hurt. It was so perfect from a long distance. No one knew the archer. Arjuna became highly incensed. Who did this? And they looked and they found Ekalavya in the forest. Dronacharya said, "Who taught you?" Ekalavya paid his obeisances. "It was you who taught me. You are not accepted. I don't remember teaching you." "No, I am following what you say. I'm worshipping your statue." And he showed the image of Dronacharya. "And that is how everything came to me." "Okay," said Dronacharya, "if I am your guru, give me a guru dakshin." "Okay. What do you wish?" said Ekalavya. "Your right thumb. I have promised Arjuna he would be the archer. He has to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. He needs to confront all Adharma. Who knows how the politics will work, where you will be. If you are there with your archery, give me your thumb, then you can't shoot." Ekalavya said, "If this is your desire, shoot. Here's my thumb." Faith is here in this last episode. If this is the point of our Maharaj, if you have faith in a process, if your heart is good, then the process will work, because Prabhupada has promised to Krishna. In this world, everything good becomes a cult. There's also a guru cult. "Oh, my guru is Uttama, 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 10 times Uttama, and he will deliver me." Yes, if you follow him, but if you don't follow him, he won't deliver you. It will not work. On the other hand, if someone sincere with faith follows, with faith, Shraddha, then the process will work, as it worked for Ekalavya. He became a good archer. And so on. So this is a point which is something interesting, something to be considered, something to think about. I rest my faith as a disciple in this point, that if I follow Srila Prabhupada, Krishna will be merciful to me. Now, let us finish this pastime. Should we sing a little? Not too much at one point. Good. Then we will sing a little. We should now follow the process, no? So strong about the process, my God, then we must follow now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radha Shyama.
Kuvera and Manigriva finished their prayers, they said, "We are only here because of Narada Muni. O Supreme Lord, we are always servants of your servants, especially Narada Muni. It is by the grace of Narada Muni that we have been able to have seen your lotus feet." And then they asked for something which may seem at first a little bit, why did they ask for this? They asked, "Please give us your permission that we can leave now from here." You may ask, well, they are now in the Lord's personal association. Why do they want to go somewhere else? And the answer is, they respected Lord Krishna's Braj Leela. Imagine Mother Yashoda, who would come very soon. You know, she would awake from her fainted condition, and she would see these two personalities who look like columns of light, you know, big personalities with helmets, with decorated things, devatas, very, very, let me say, exalted and different sized bodies. Mother Yashoda will become disturbed. And she will know that her Lala, her little boy, has done this extraordinary feat. So they said, "We should better go to Alakapuri, the town, our town where we come from, because my dear devotees, only personal associates can be in the Leela and participate in the Leela in Vrindavan." And they were not yet on this level. But then they were thinking of going home. They became fearful. And I'm sometimes thinking during the Govardhan retreat that all of us may feel also this fear. On one hand, we will say, okay, when I'm home, I will have a light which switches on when I switch it on and which switches off when I switch it off. And I will have my muesli energy bars and my food items and don't have to struggle with Indian cooking and digestion problems and so on. But another part in us says, oh, here I'm more Krishna conscious than when I'm at home. So we are fearful. Some part of us is fearful. So this part in them was also now speaking. If we go back to Alakapuri, there is great danger that we become victims again of sense gratification. Please protect us, therefore. And knowing that this was a realistic chance, they prayed to Krishna for something very special. They prayed to be favorably engaged in the service of Krishna with all their senses, because only then, when you perform devotional service, are you safe. Rishikena Krishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Everything, the mind, the body, and all the sense organs should be engaged in Krishna's service. This is the process. In other words, my dear devotees, they prayed for something which I would like to term in modern English as total absorption or immersion. This is what they prayed for. And I believe it's something we could also ask the Lord for. May all our words describe your pastimes. Reduce prajalpa. No? May our ears always hear your glories. No? Reduce public media. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions that are pleasing to you. And most important, may our minds always forget you. Good, you were listening. And most important, may our minds always think of your lotus feet. Always, no. May our heads, what should offer? Huh? Yes, but they said like this. May our heads offer obeisances to everything in this world, because all things are also your different forms. In other words, they pray for friendship to other living entities, not hatred. And may our eyes see the different forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. So nice, no? If you'd like to take notes, what do they pray to be done with their words? Describe your pastimes. Very good. Yes, speaking the same thing. What do they pray their ears may achieve? Hear the glories, right. What do they wish their hands and legs and other senses to do when they are home? Act in activities that are pleasing to them. Yeah, they listen so nicely. What do they wish their minds to do? Always think of Krishna's lotus feet, yes. What do they want their heads to do? Offer obeisances to everything in this world, because all things are also your different forms. You know, be a kind-hearted Vaishnava who respects others and other things. No? And what do their eyes want their eyes to do? Yes, see Vaishnavas, because Vaishnavas, good Vaishnavas, remind us of Krishna. Yesterday, a very good Vaishnav came to us and blessed us with his presence. And although I was physically and mentally exhausted, when I saw him, I got so much life, because there's bhakti in the heart, and we become infused. They had everything. Inconceivable riches. They had wives who were damsels of heavens. They resided in the richest town of the universe, Alakapura. Their bodies were as beautiful as Kamdev. And they had airplanes, private airplanes made from flowers, a Pushpaka Viman, which could travel with the speed of mind without visa problems. They had no desires any longer for anything. All they wanted was to now chant the holy names with their tongues and remember the form of the Lord with the mind. This is the power of bhakti, my dear devotees. And I want to end here with singing with you again this prayer to Lord Damodar. While still bound to the grinding mortar, you granted the two sons of Kuvera liberation from the curse of Narada and blessed them with loving devotion to you. Just as you made these demigods receivers of the greatest mercy, kindly grant me not liberation, but the same eternal perfection. O Damoda. I long for nothing else than that. Kuveratma Jobata. It is sung in the Kirtan style. That means the Kirtan singer sings first and then we sing all together. But nice to see your enthusiasm. Kuveratma Jobata. Mujhe vayat var Maya mujhi to bhakti Ajokito cha Tata prema vaktim svakam me prayatsya Tata amodadeha Vaktam me prayatsya Namotidra Tata prema vaktim svakam me prayatsya Namokshi gramo me sridhamodadeha Krishna responded very affectionately in the words of Prabhupada. He thought to himself, he said, I know your history from the beginning. When you were mad and blinded from material opulences, the great saint Narada Muni mercifully cursed you. And then you fell from the higher planet Svargaloka and became trees. But this was his blessing. And then Krishna spoke a verse which is just so beautiful that I believe you will take encouragement from it. He said, Sadhunam samachittanam sutaram matkritatmanam Dashanam no bhavet bandha pungsokshno savito yata. It's in the 10th canto, 10th chapter, verse 41. When one is face to face with the sun, there's no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer experience material bondage. You have the desire to be absorbed in my service. I bless you. That even when you return home, you will develop love and affection for me. And you will never, ever fall from that platform. The two demigods were moved in their hearts. They circumambulated the Lord again and again and again and again. They offered their obeisances. And then when they felt they had offered enough obeisances to Krishna, they offered a second series of obeisances to the rope which bound him around his beautiful belly, which he had moved forward to liberate them. Finally, taking permission with tears in their eyes, they departed to the northern areas where the sages live. It is possible that they went to Badarikashram to catch up with Narada Muni, maybe then to Kedarnath, one of the places of Lord Shiva in this world, because they felt indebted to both of these great devotees. And then something happened, which is so beautiful. The two took birth from one gopi in Braj. Her name was Ratnavati, and they were introduced to Krishna in an almost very moving way, and we will talk about this tomorrow. Or the next, I don't know. Tomorrow is maybe free day, but the next day.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Please, everybody, kindly turn to Giriraj and offer him this prayer for Kirtan. Although we are not always awakened to our own good fortune, because our minds are still busy with the body and the mind, we are so fortunate to be here in the land of Vrindavan, and we can pray like the two sons of Kuvera. The Lord is merciful to us. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Hare Krishna! So I wish you a wonderful continuation of your... It's the third full Govardhan retreat day. We will be in the middle of the retreat. So may Giriraj give you all the things you have come for. Hare Krishna!